WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
My guest is singer Frankie Lane, who's just re-recorded some of the Western themes he made famous, the themes from High Noon, Gunfight at the OK Corral, and Rawhide. During the 50s and 60s, Lane had 21 gold records, but a lot of listeners still associate him with his anthems of the West. Eric Kunzel, director of the Cincinnati Pops, immediately thought of Frankie Lane for their recording called Roundup.
Do not forsake me, oh my darling, on this our wedding day. Do not forsake me, oh my darling. Wait, wait long. I do not know what fate. Okay, correct. Okay, correct. There the outlaw band make their final stand. Okay, correct. Oh, my dearest one, keep rolling, 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 though the streams are swollen. Keep them dogies rolling raw high through rain and wind and weather, hell band for leather, wishing my gal was by my side. All the things I'm missing, good vittles, love and kissing, are waiting at the end of my ride. Move them out, hit them up, hit them up. Move them out, hit them up, raw high. Cut them out, ride them in, cut them out, ride them in, raw high.
When I spoke with Frankie Lane, I asked him how an Italian boy from Chicago wound up singing about gunfights and herding cattle.
In the beginning, I guess you might say that I was wondering what a city boy was doing singing country and western songs and Wild West themes. But apparently, I guess I was like any other kid who watched the cowboys and Indians movies. I was crazy about westerns. And maybe it all harks back to that. I really don't know, but it all seemed to come naturally, and I didn't seem to have any trouble adjusting to that genre of music. And I was crazy about some of the songs that came along. Some of them were pretty hokey, but things like Cool Water and Tumbling Tumbleweed were just fantastic for me vocally as far as interpreting them. And yet I never sounded exactly like a country singer in the sense of a Jim Reeves or any of those guys.
You know, I remember whenever I used to see you on the Ed Sullivan Show, I used to always hope that you'd sing Rawhide. And the times I saw you, you never did. So I guess I wonder if you've ever included that as part of your repertoire in performances.
Well, part of the deal on Rawhide entailed the proviso that I had to record the song first and that it had to be out at least 8 weeks prior to the TV show going on the air, which it was. And I was glad because by the time the TV show did debut, the record was a smash and it was fighting for the number one spot. In fact, the producers themselves told me later that the theme song, the popularity of the Rawhide record, kept the TV show on the air for about 4 months. And everybody laughs when I tell them that in the show that I do now. And then I say the TV show caught on and kept me on the air for 7.5 years. So it turned out to be good for both of us.
No, I wouldn't laugh because even when the reruns came on just a couple of years ago, I would tune it in just to hear the theme song.
Well, there you go.
Did you enjoy the opportunity of doing a send-up of all of your Western themes when Mel Brooks asked you to do Blazing Saddles, the theme from his Western spoof, Blazing Saddles?
I have to confess, Terry, that I was a complete dummy about that whole situation. I was working in Vegas at the time, and I happened to do a Merv Griffin guest shot. And I didn't know that anybody was watching who would be involved in filming a movie at that time or had just filmed a movie. Now, I get a call only about 20 minutes after the show went off the air from Mel Brooks, and I thought it was a gag. And I didn't know too much about Mel Brooks at that time. And he said, I'm Mel Brooks, and I'm producing a picture called Blazing Saddles, and we have a theme song that we would like for you to do. And nobody told me that this picture was a comedy or a takeoff. I did it absolutely dead sure, certain, serious. And then I was stunned when I saw the preview. I happened to be in, I don't know, we were touring somewhere, and they had a preview of the movie, and I almost died when I realized that I was part of a big comedy setup. And I got ribbed about it an awful lot, but he said later, he says, that's why we didn't tell you. He says, we wanted you to do it dead serious.
He rode a blazing saddle. He wore a shining star. His job to offer battle to bad men near and far. He conquered fear and he conquered hate. He turned dark night into day. He made his blazing saddle a torch to light the way.
It's kind of ironic that you, one of the men with the biggest voices in pop music, was discovered by a man with one of the kind of smallest voices in singing. And I'm thinking of Hoagy Carmichael, who was a wonderful songwriter and a wonderful singer, and whose style of singing I think of as being very different from yours. What's the story of how he first heard you?
Well, I was hanging around a little joint called Billy Berg's in the middle 40s, like 45 and 46. And Billy, who ran the place, was a good friend of mine and used to let me get up and sing every once in a while with whoever was headlining there. And one night I happened to pick Rockin' Chair, and it was a jazz joint in those days, so I always sang something in that vein. And I didn't know that the composer, Hoagy Carmichael, was going to be sitting out there that night. And after I finished, to a nice, you know, polite round of applause, I started to walk off the stage. I put my glasses back on, and there was this guy at the bottom of the steps waiting to talk to me. He says, what's your name? I told him. He says, where are you working? I says, I'm not. He says, well, come with me. So he took me over to Billy. He says, Billy, why don't you put this kid to work? He sings great. And Billy laughed, and he says, what for? He comes in and sings every night for nothing. But he did put me to work, and that was the beginning of the whole thing.
I think most of your listeners are most familiar with your pop music hits. One of your albums that I like best is of you singing jazz standards with an orchestra led by trumpeter Buck Clayton. And it's a side of you that I think probably a lot of people are not familiar with. I wonder how come you headed in the pop direction instead of staying in jazz-style singing?
Well, a lot of it was pure accident. While I was working at Billy Berg's, a guy by the name of Edgar Hayes came to work there headlining as a small quartet that really I used to use them to sing with me, to back me up while I was doing the intermission singing. And I happened to ask him if he remembered an old tune called That's My Desire. He says, no, but that's a great tune. He says, I think it'd be good for you. To my complete surprise, after I finished the song, there was absolute pandemonium. And Billy Berg's wife came running up and said, Frank, do it again. So that night I did it 5 times, and that night changed my life. So that is a pop song. So all of a sudden, I get a hit with a pop version of an old tune, and it just carried me in that direction. And that's how I got laid in that slot. And no matter how many jazz things I did after that, nobody would really ever accept me as a jazz singer. So you figure it out.
You know, I know you had a triple bypass just a few years ago.
Quadruple.
Excuse me. Gosh, and you're still singing. And I don't know. Were you worried that you wouldn't be able to perform again when you were about to undergo the operation?
Well, that was a big concern because, you know, when they split you open like that to do open heart surgery, you have to have a respirator tube down in your throat to breathe for you. So they said, we don't know what you're going to sound like when this is over. And I was speaking pretty high after the operation. And it took me about, I would say, 3 months before my voice came back down to what I feel is my proper register. And then it was about another 3 months before I actually tried to do a concert. And after that night, everything was absolutely just like it ought to be, not a drop of perspiration, no panic, no nothing, no trouble breathing, and I knew that I was home free.
Well, I'm thrilled that you're still performing, and I want to thank you very much for talking with us, Frankie Lane.
Okay, thank you, Dahl. Bye.
Frankie Lane spoke to us from KPBS in San Diego. He sings with the Cincinnati Pops Orchestra on the new record, Roundup.